Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins, and I'm so happy to be here today. I have to say good morning to Lizzie. Good morning, Lizzie. I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're here, too.
We have had a couple of nice days.
We have had at least one extremely nice day for us over in Sereno. So yesterday it was beautiful, and then woke up this morning, and I'm just very encouraged to be able to get out during the day after my shows to finish, and it will be done, finish our second turkey run, because the poults are just, they're the size of like adult chickens now. They're huge. Just, these are the 6 weeks old
ones. Oh my goodness. Now, are they really noisy? I mean, do they crow in the morning when the sun comes up?
No.
No.
No, 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 no. No. The turkey poults, they
don't gobble, 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 gobble.
Okay, Gerald and his clan that are 4 months old.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Now they've reached this last week. They've reached now anytime you make a noise, they now all gobble. Okay. But these other ones are going through those teenage years of a broken voice. Yeah. And I've got to record it so I can play it. But I almost throat punched my son when he went through his teenage years of talking. So I am literally going, I need headphones on 24/7 because I can't handle this. Whatever it is that they're giving me.
Oh, that's too funny. It was a beautiful morning this morning going out. 60s up in Ocala, North Florida. You guys are in the upper 60s too as well. And it's just going to be a lovely day. And that's going to put us for the week. A little cold front coming through this week. So I was really appreciative of that. The humidity, it was just lovely weather. I had people telling me that they were sitting outside enjoying the breeze. And it was lovely. All thanks to Ernesto, which is hammering the Bahamas right now.
I was going to ask, is that the reason why we got this, after 116 degree weather this last week, literally 116 degrees, is that what it was
that
created this nice little cool front we had going on?
Yes, it's pushing that dry air in. And so we're not, Central Florida and North Florida, we're not getting any rain. South Florida, you're getting hammered today down in Key West, and that's part of Ernesto's trail. And then next week, though, 50 to 80% chance of rain every day. Tampa, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, definitely 50 to 80%. And then next Saturday, so next weekend is going to be the thunderstorms. So we should be getting those back again.
Nice.
So what does this mean? I just want everybody to say it with me. No irrigation is needed.
Oh, I thought you were going to say decorate for fall.
You're ready for fall, right?
I've got all my stuff sitting in the living room for 2 weeks now.
So no need for irrigation. It would be so wonderful if the whole state of Florida this week could just have their mindset is that we're going to conserve our water and leave it so that we have it in future generations. And so you don't have to water just every day. I've been talking to people this week that say, oh, but I water three times a week. And I'm going, oh, no, you're not supposed to water. Oh, no, only twice a week if necessary. And that's the whole key is if necessary. We're not being punished by these restrictions. It's all we need to be watering. And I know I hammer this so much, Lizzie, but it's something that it's at the core, at the base of all our landscape issues.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and the thing is that, you know, you educated me a couple of years ago on the fact that, yes, it may look like it needs to be watered, but if you don't put your hand or finger down to test to see how wet it is further down, and also the less you water on certain instances, then the roots grow deeper and they become more of an established plant.
I want to give you a gold star and a hug right now. That is exactly right. The more you water, the shorter the root system, and then they need to be watered more often. If you would let it go and just push it just a little bit, Mother Nature is going to push those roots down. So that's just so important. And we can take advantage of the rainfall. Why should you pay for water when we're getting this rain? And that's the big thing. Quality Green Specialist Dana Venrick. He has the best supply of native shade trees, and that's what we should be planting right now is the native shade trees. Take advantage of this rainfall and even a little bit of the cooler temperatures. Fruit trees and berry shrubs. He has organic and nutritional products at Quality Green Specialists. That's why I'm so pleased to know him. He's got so much information, so much history in Florida agriculture and growing plants and crops. He knows his stuff. And so you can go to Quality Green Specialists at 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. You can also call Dana at 386-734-8000. 386-734-8000. And so Dana's going to be on next week to discuss organic applications for getting the most bountiful harvest. We've started our fall gardens, hopefully, and this is a time you want to make sure that you are fertilizing correctly and with the proper nutrients. We have our macro and micro. I'm going to ask Dana about that. And then also fruit trees. As we're going out of season with some of our fruit trees, they need to have the nutrition. And what should you be doing in the next couple of months to make sure that they're nice and healthy? So I'm looking forward to having Dana on. I always learn so much from him. And so stop by Quality Green Specialist to get your fall landscape and vegetable garden off to a great start. First hour, we're going to be discussing two native Florida plants that I saw this week that make me happy and sad. Got a little bit of a rant coming. And then also on our second hour, we're going to be talking about a gardening issue that Florida's just famous for, nematodes. So stay tuned. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Entertainment, Talkin' Entertainment. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We're so glad you're here with us this morning. I certainly appreciate it. And we are having our cup of tea. Lizzie, do you have something to drink?
Actually, I have body armor, fruit punch body armor. I snatched it on the way out because I woke up late this morning. Well, the dogs
what
woke
is it?
Up.
Is it a fruit juice drink?
It's a, it's heaven on earth, anybody, and I'm not a doctor, so I'm only recommending this from personal experience. This got us through COVID. It's body armor. It's like a Gatorade style, but a brand, and it has all the electrolytes. It's like the adult version of Pedialyte minus the alcohol.
There you go. Pedialyte has alcohol in it?
No. Because I said it's the adult version.
Okay, super. Okay, we got it. Yeah, all right. That's too funny. And so we do have a caller this morning. That's great. If you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. Let's go to Jerry in Citrus County. Good morning, Jerry. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. I have apple cactus. It's gotten pretty tall, about 15 feet, and finally started blooming.
Oh, good.
Early morning, night hours, great big white flower with a lot of bugs on it.
Yes, the queen of the night.
The queen of the night.
That's okay. What it's called.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it's got some fruit forming. So far I haven't gotten any fruit. It's just getting purple now on a couple of them, out of the dozen or two I had, flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, is there something I'm supposed to do to take care of that, or when you pick that fruit? I understand it's like a breadfruit.
It is, and it tastes good. I would just keep waiting and touching it, and as soon as it starts to get a little soft, you can pull it off and go ahead and put it on your counter, and then when it gets really soft, you can eat it.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way of generating more blooms or fruit?
Well, are you fertilizing it?
Oh, yeah. It's in a very rich gardening area where I grow other production plants.
There's nothing else you can do. It's just going to do it on its own. It seems like if you're growing and it's just the season for them to start producing fruit after they bloom during the summertime, and you're doing just fine.
Okay. Are there other varieties of this cactus?
There's other varieties of the species, yes. There are. Not all of them do produce fruit that's edible, but... you know, I think with just one, as it gets older, how tall is it?
Oh, about 15 feet.
Yeah.
I tried to look up the botanical name. It's Cereus?
Yeah, Cereus. C-E-R-E-U-S.
Yeah, and if I was to find some, it would be in that genus?
Yes.
Thank you. And the other question I have is sort of a touchy one. I got to be careful.
Okay.
Some gardeners told me, and they've been having lots of trouble with gnats, and I have too this year for the first time because I'm old and it gets around my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And they say there's some garden amendments that are being sold that contain the eggs of the gnats. And one of my neighbors buys this stuff by the pickup truckload. She does a lot of gardening. And yeah. I'm wondering if there's any substance to
so
it.
So is this outside or inside?
Outside.
Mm-hmm. It is outside. Yeah. So this, right. I mean, they could be fungal gnats, but they could just be midges. So you live in Citrus County. It could be just midges that are the issue. Does it happen at like dusk at nighttime, or is it all day long?
No, it's in the morning. It's the worst in the morning.
It's early in the morning. I would say it's probably midges. Midges. If your neighbor is putting manure down or, you know, excessive mushroom compost, you could get some midges from that. But I just think they're just regular midges. Now, you can... Summit Responsible Solutions has a year-round spray oil that you can spray your property with that will get rid of those midges for you.
Oh, spray oil.
Yes, this is Summit Responsible Solutions. Summit year-round spray oil. And you spray it around your yard, spray it around your bushes, and it'll take care of that issue for you.
And it doesn't hurt any of the plants?
Oh, no, no.
It's an ag oil type thing?
It is an ag oil, very safe.
Oh, okay. And it's, if I do have gnats in some situation, the gnats killed by it also?
Yes. It'll kill any of the flying.
It'll take care of everything.
Ticks,
there's
you know, fleas.
There's a horse farm near me.
Yeah.
And it's just loaded.
Yeah. That could be it. That could be the reason.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jerry.
I appreciate your advice and your program.
Thank you so much. Good morning. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. They call in, and they're listeners. I love that.
Oh, we love our listeners. We are actually, I've been on quite a few shows in my life, and definitely we have amazing listeners as part of the show. Respectful, not jerk faces. And what I love is they think they have dumb questions, but then they listen to me. And they're like, oh, no, I can't top Lizzie.
No, there are no dumb questions. And it's great because we're getting into the nice time of the year. Fall is my favorite season. Not that it's happening anytime soon, you know,
in my living room and kitchen, it will this weekend.
And so, but it's coming up, and I love this time of the year. Okay, so this week I was driving on I-4, and I came through DeBary. And there was a new development going up, and it was, I want to say, not 100 acres, but close to. I mean, it was a big, big, huge development, and I don't know what's going in there. But I was so excited because I noticed that blooming in this ground that had been all pushed. I mean, it's all graded, and it's really rich black dirt.
Right.
But it's also wetland area. It's moist soils because of this native plant that's growing there. There were thousands and thousands of native red root growing.
Oh, wow.
This is a wetland indicator. Red root only grows in moist to wet soils. And they were all blooming, and they were gorgeous. And it made me happy to see all these native plants blooming. But it also made me sad because here we have development going that's going to destroy everything, grade everything out. And then when they get back to putting in the landscape, they're going to go, oh, what natives can we plant in here? Because now they're, you know, everybody's trying to plant natives. And I'm going, you had natives on there. And red root is called Carolina red root. It's a perennial wildflower that occurs naturally in wet flatwoods, marshes, bogs, dome swamps, savannas, and coastal swales. And this is what we're developing in. And the blooms of this plant are a creamy whitish yellow. They're gorgeous. And I first noticed them when I started back 20 years ago. I drive up to Palatka and on the back roads through Ocala. And I'm driving through these pine flatwoods and you don't see anything. And then all of a sudden, one day, you're driving through and here's all these beautiful flowers by the side of the road blooming. And I'm going, I never even knew they were there until they started blooming. And so I found out what they were, and they're Carolina redroot. And these are plants that the Native American Indians used to use for dye because the roots are red. And so they are wonderful for attracting a variety of butterflies and moths. The seeds are eaten by birds, especially sandhill cranes. And the roots are favored by feral hogs. Now, we don't want anybody feeding the feral hogs, okay?
We know that,
okay? They're here. Lizzie, do you know how the feral hogs got here? Because hogs aren't native to the United States.
Were they brought over from, like, maybe South America?
No, the Spaniards brought them over.
Oh, got you.
They brought over hogs into the Tampa Bay area.
Oh.
And in Hernando County, they brought over like 6 to 8 to 10 hogs with them on the ships. And then, oops, some went missing. And they didn't eat them. And so they got loose. And that's where our feral hogs come from now. They're still, you know, 400, 500 years. Is it 500 years?
Now, this, the
600 years.
The Carolina red root is actually, it doesn't seem like it's a very pretty flower. And I could see how people would think that these were weeds and. But a good idea is if you are a contractor out there that is working on these, could they save these
and
maybe resell them?
So here's developers and contractors and construction companies, and Sydney will tell you, I'm not looking for wildflowers, and I'm not digging these up. I'm, you know, it's just a pain in the butt to go through and see what's there and see if you can transplant them or move them out and save them. But I'm just thinking these could go along shorelines, along the St. John's River. These could be given to city residents.
Mm-hmm.
But the other concern is that these are wetlands and they're allowed. It's all legal, so that's not an issue, and I don't want to hear about that. It's all legal.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to need to put in wetland plants there. You know, we build these developments, and they say that the land, you know, there's a lot of them in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Celebration is built out really wet areas. And so
there you go.
But they are pretty. I'm going to post photographs of it later today.
Okay.
And you'll see the masses and masses, the acres of these red roots. And it's just going to be gorgeous. But they are beneficial. They will be gone and you won't even notice them there, and they'll just plow right over them. But then I have another plant that I saw this week, and so I'm going to talk to you about that. It's another native. It's very rare. It has no leaves and no roots.
What?
Yes, and it's a rare native Florida plant, and you can find it all over the world, but it pops up in our gardens, and we don't know what it is, and I found one this week, and I found bunches of them, and they're growing really well, so I'm going to talk about that when we come back. But if you're in DeBary, you can see the red root blooming, and I will post photos of it. So I hope that they will take into consideration those soil conditions.
Yes.
And when they put plants back in there for the development in the parking areas or whatever's getting built there, that this is right off of 17, that they will remember that these are wet soils and plant plants that are appropriate
for
you. If native plants.
Yeah, well, if you're like a contractor or a builder that does that, you know, this may be a good suggestion for them or for yourself, for your business to be like, hey, we saw these. We evaluated the landscape before we ended up building, and this is what was growing. This is what is natural for Florida. So let's put these back in.
Yep. It's always the way it is. And so 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. Let me know. My text line is working, what you're drinking for breakfast this morning. And we're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens this Saturday morning. This is where you are. And we appreciate it. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We want to say good morning to Howie in Peterson's Nursery. He's listening this morning. Thank you, Howie. And give a big hi to Karen. And we are taking your text messages. So we've got some coming up here. Linda, thank you so much for texting in. But we're going to go to Jeffrey in Tallahassee. Good morning, Jeffrey. I am so glad you called back today. And good morning. Are you there?
I'm there. I'm listening to you. Go ahead.
Okay. So last week we called, and it was just right off the top of my head, and so I had not done any research on it. And I was telling you the lemon bacopa or water hyssop, which is also called, could be controlled by rodeo, but it will not. And so I have a list. It can be controlled very easily. And if you'll just text us your email address, I will send them to you, but I'm going to give you the names of the products that will remove it, okay?
Okay, so yeah, I was going to tell you, I actually contacted Rodeo as well. You know, if you do that online, you can send them a question. So
right.
I went and sent them a very extensive question regarding a situation here, and they did send back to me that, no, it wouldn't control it. So I that's why I'm calling you back. I thought you might have more resources than
I
me.
I do,
so
I do.
You're saying that when I get off the phone here, I should go ahead and text you my email address.
Right, and I will send you all the ingredients, all the different products that will take care of it, because there are several. And this comes from the Texas A&M, which has the issue with lemon bacopa in Texas. So I'm going to...
That's funny. Yeah, I have contacted them a little bit too, but the bottom line was, so I'll be interested to see what you send back to me, but the bottom line was that I've heard these people are all telling me there's a question. The question, I guess the operative word here is control or eliminate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can eliminate it. Do you have you viewed it from that perspective, Teresa?
Yes. And what it means is control or eliminate. Control keeps the population of the plant down. Eliminate means you don't have to do it anymore. And I doubt that you can eliminate it totally. You can get rid of it for like a season or, a year, but it's always going to come back because it gets spread. And it's spread by birds and it's spread by animals. And so like ducks and all kinds of waterfowl. And so you're always going to get it to pop back in. It's kind of the same way with weeds in our landscape. You know, we can have a weed-free lawn for a certain amount of time, but then every once in a while or, you know, after a couple of years, one will pop in and it'll start the process all over again. So,
well, that's real very interesting. I know a lot of people up here will appreciate your responding to this. It's, we never had, for years, there was none of this in the lake, and it has emerged, and it is really, it's like a cancer in this lake. So I won't take any more of your time, but I will go ahead and send you my email, and I'll give you a follow-up in the month
that will be good
ahead.
And so while I still have you on, right, Jeffrey, what I want you to do is you're going to have to follow the labels, you know, explicitly. You're going to follow it exactly what they tell you. And it may need repeat applications, okay? And so the time frame for that is on the label. And so, but this is the control for it from Texas A&M, and they gave these products: Reward, Harvester, Tribune, Tsunami DQ, Diquat, and Wood Trine. I'm sorry, not wood, Weed Trine. And so those are the six products they say will control it, that is labeled for use on lemon bacopa, water hyssop. And I'm going to send that to you. I'll send you the whole publication when you send me your email address. And
what a wonderful service you all provide. Enjoy your show. Have a wonderful day, and thank you so much.
Thank you for following up, Jeffrey. I appreciate you being out there and listening. That'll help everybody in your area. I certainly do appreciate it. If you have a gardening question, you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967. Let's go to Linda, one of our big fans. We always hear from her, and we look forward to her questions. Teresa, there is a rule of thumb as to how many plants can be planted in pots, 6 inches on up to huge pots. Thank you so much. And they had 59 degrees, Lizzie, last night.
Oh, wow.
That's great. Oh, my goodness. get the cinnamon and pumpkin spice mugs out. Yes.
Also, our text line is 23680. That's 23680. Teresa was just pulling random numbers out. She's just like, you know what?
I haven't had all of my tea yet this morning.
It's all good.
23680.
There you go.
Thank you. Did I say 26?
I did. I don't know. You did.
23680. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you're here keeping me in on track. And so Mike in Venice says, good morning. He's eating steel-cut oats this morning with crushed walnuts.
Wow.
And strawberries, blueberries, and blackberries. And he's going to have coffee afterwards. I love that. Thank you so much, Mike. Hope you have a great weekend. It's going to be beautiful for everyone. All right, so the next plant that I saw, which is really exciting to me, and let's see, where am I going to go here? I have it. I do have it. And it does not have leaves or roots. And here it is. And it, you'll see it at the bottom of palm trees. And it comes up, and it just looks like it's like very small sticks coming out, green sticks coming out of the base of a tree or a shrub in an area. Sometimes it's in your palm trees, like your kuntis and cycads. These were in anise, okay? And these were in the shrubs. The anise is a shrub that has leaves that smell like licorice. And it is a small plant. It only grows 6 to 12 inches, and it has many branches on it, bright green. And the stems have green and yellow nodes on it, but these are actually the reproductive structures. They're not leaves. And it is it's called whisk fern, and it looks like a whisk when you're a whisk broom. It looks like it's called Psyllium nudum. It doesn't have true leaves, nor does it have true roots, but it is a plant. It's not quite a fern, but it is a vascular, not necessarily a vascular plant. So it is native to Florida. It's found in almost every county from the central part of the state all the way down to the Keys, southeast as far north as North Carolina and west to Texas and Arizona. And it is found in most tropical and subtropical places around the globe. So it grows in swamps and moist forests. And so this is, I mean, literally the property, the development that I found it in is on moist, wetland, swampy soils. And it also occurs, though, in scrubs. It is one of the oldest plants that we have in the world. And it, let me just see when it was, the Psyllium nudum. Guess what it means in Latin, Lizzie?
I am not sure.
Bare naked. It's called bare naked because it lacks most of the organs of typical vascular plants. It has neither root nor leaf and appears to be a mass of bare twigs. It's considered a living fossil. So you probably have seen this in your yard and didn't know what it was. It's a whisk fern, Psyllium nudum. And we're going to be back with more Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. With Better Lawns and Gardens, I'm Teresa Watkins, and I just wanted to let you know, if you find whisk ferns in your yard or your plants, it does not hurt them. They're considered epiphytes, and they thrive best in partial shade and can tolerate more sunny locations, but prefer moist but well-drained soils. They will grow in full shade, but they're really somewhat reduced. They don't get as big, and you can expect a clump of 12 to 18 inches wide. And they will, very easy to propagate. You just divide them up, transplant the rhizomes, and of course you can get it also from the spores. That's how they travel and propagate. But they will also grow in rocks and in bark. And so you can put it in your container gardens with cactus and things like that. So it's really cool. They are called a whisk ferns. Let's go to Gene and Stuart. Good morning, Gene. How can I help you?
Good morning. I just tuned in, so if I ask something that's been repeated, I'm sorry.
No, no problem.
I have two questions.
Yes.
First one's the easy one. I got several chevalier trees, and the roots are starting to come out of the surface of the ground.
Right.
And so my question there is, are they so close to the top of the ground that if I'm sure my problem is the ground is settling around them. Do they tend to migrate up, or is it the ground moving down?
They have surface roots, and so they get to be a very big, tall tree. And the roots are close to the surface, and will travel along the upper portion of it, and they get big.
Very good. That answers that.
Okay.
Second question is, I'm sure there's a difference between shade cloth and frost cloth. Is that correct?
Yes, there is a difference.
Okay. I have probably, depending on the time of year, direct sun on my orchids for about maybe three hours in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Until it gets overhead and the trees start shading.
Okay.
So, number one, does that need to be shade cloth?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I cannot use the frost cloth instead.
No. The frost cloth will allow sunlight to get through. The shade cloth will shade and will prevent sunlight getting through. And depending on the thickness and the size of the mesh of the shade cloth determines how much sunlight will get through. Now, some of your orchids, did you want to put shade cloth over your orchids?
Yeah, but only the time of year when I get that direct
right
sun for a couple hours.
Okay. Because if it's morning and it's not getting too much of a heat exposure, like on your north and east side of the house where it just gets that little morning sun, your orchids may be fine. There are certain variety of orchids that don't mind a little bit more sunlight. So how are your orchids responding? Are they okay? Are they burned, or are they thriving?
I'm not detecting anything.
Okay. They just may enjoy just a little bit of the morning sun, and as long as they're protected from the heat of the day, they should be just fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, they're in a screen porch, so.
Oh, well, if they're in the screen porch, they're going to be just fine. You don't need to worry about putting shade cloth on them.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much, and have a good weekend.
Thank you, Gene, for listening and calling in. I love hearing from you. Great question. Let's go to Gordon in Plant City. Good morning, Gordon.
Thank you for taking my call, Teresa. Listen, my crape myrtle is only about 6 inches tall before I think I accidentally hit it with a lawnmower.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, the weeds were pretty high, so I think I accidentally hit it. So I went back and said, ow. And so I'm wondering if I keep watering it. It's kind of a small crape myrtle tree. And I was just wondering if it'll eventually grow back if I leave it alone or what.
Yes. Okay, so a 6-inch crepe myrtle tree is a very small tree, and you just want to create a circle around it, maybe put a flag there or something, but it will recover. It shouldn't hurt it too much, especially with the rain we're getting. Is it in full sun or shade?
It's on the corner of the house, but it can get a lot of sun, actually.
Okay, yeah, it should be just fine then. I would just stake it, put a flag there, and open it up so you're not mowing the grass around it. Because also the grass around the crepe myrtle is going to be taking the water and the nutrients away from the crepe myrtle. So
when I ran over it with a lawnmower, I mean, I think I cut everything off of it so that it currently doesn't have any leaves that would give nutrients. But I definitely make sure it's watered.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, though, I don't want to see any grass around the crepe myrtle. So I want to give it as much room as possible so it can breathe, the roots can breathe, and it can get full sunlight, and you don't mow it again.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Matter of fact, I might put some, like you do, put a flag or something in front of it.
There you go. It should recover. It will come back.
How long do you think it'll take? About a week or a month or what?
I would say probably a month or so before you see anything.
I give it a try and just see how it turns out. The crepe myrtle tree, like everything, eventually passes away, but we'll give it the old college try.
Gordon, the thing is, how close is it to your house?
I'd say it's about 6 or 9, 6 or 8 feet. It's not right up on it.
Okay, yeah. 6 to 8 feet away. That's fine. Yeah, I definitely would put a flag there and then try not to mow over.
And Gordon, I have a question for you. Whose crepe myrtle did you run over?
It was my mama's.
There you go. I heard the panic in his voice.
You're a smart person to ask. Don't tell me you star secret.
There you go. Okay, well, yes, you tell your mama it will recover, okay? And then let us know when it does.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, thank you so much. You have a good morning, you guys.
All right, hon. And then I should tell Gordon where he can go buy another one and really small.
Where? Yeah, I was going to do like the goldfish thing. Yeah. Gordon, replace the crepe myrtle
just
while your mom's
grew overnight,
grocery
like
shopping.
Jack and the Beanstalk.
I love it. This is why I love our listeners, is because of people like Gordon. Because, you know, you call and you're in a panic mode and you're saying, Teresa, help me give this.
But he could say, look at how much it grew overnight.
Oh, I know. Look, Mom, look how great this is.
A great crepe myrtle tree. Poor Gordon. Gordon, I hope your mother is not a listener.
He's a good son.
He is.
A good son to make sure he's going to take care of the problem instead of going, what crepe myrtle? I don't know about no crepe myrtle that was out there.
You know, it happens so much. You know, you just run over something, you plant it. And, you know, the other thing is that you have a garden and you plant seeds. And then you start pulling the weeds out, and you're pulling out all the flowers that were going to be blooming.
Yeah. Well, I planted a few sunflowers at the beginning of this year, and Brooke's boyfriend went out to go weed eat the property, and he weed eated it all. So yep,
mm-hmm. There you go,
so, Gordon. You're not alone, buddy.
There you go. And so Linda, I will answer the question. That is so true. We went on to other things. I apologize. It's been a crazy morning. And then we have a text message from Jacksonville. We'll get to that. And Lori in St. Cloud, she has another crepe myrtle issue. So if you'd like to give us a call for the second hour, we are going to be talking about nematodes. But also, we're going to be taking your gardening questions. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And we will, I do have a minute that I can talk to Linda, right?
Exactly, 1 minute.
1 minute. Okay, super. So, Linda, the rule of thumb for plants, 6-inch pots up to large pots, it depends on the plants. There is no rule of thumb. Now, we have the thriller, filler, and spiller, you know, design technique, which means you have one plant in the main center. If you're going to have multiple plants in a pot, you have the one spectacular thriller. And then you surround it, depending on the size of the pot, with, you know, 3 to 5 plants that are the fillers. And then the spillers are 3 spillers hanging down. But it just depends on what plants you use, how big the pot is. You know, the size of the pot is really going to determine that and how big the plants get. So there's no real rule of thumb for planting containers. You can just keep one plant in a pot. Or you can add multiple plants to the pot. Depends on the size and the size of the plant. Thank you so much, Linda. I appreciate it. I hope I explained that. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.